Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife in 404. McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. 888-808-1019. We got Nico on the other side, and we got you for one more hour until the warm-up show at 5. Having a little fun on this Friday morning. A lot of draft talk. No baseball last night. I'm not going to be here next week. When we come back next Monday, it is going to be heavy, heavy draft as we will be rapidly approaching the draft on the 24th. Hopefully, a little bit of baseball as Clark Schmidt had a very positive 4-inning, 0-run minor league assignment, and hopefully he'll be back, which clearly the New York Yankees, like, and the conversation around Devin Williams has been absolute nonsense. The offense did cool off. I wasn't thrilled with how they played in Detroit, but ultimately, it's one series. They managed to get the last win. I do think they'll heat up as the weather heats up. I think the cold affected them, which does bother me a little bit. And I didn't love the excuse making about it. It felt like the Yankees had just kind of this attitude of, hey, it's too cold to play baseball. Let's just get the hell out of Detroit. Hopefully we can get a win or two. If not, like that's what it felt like. And I hate that. There should have been a more... and they need to get more of a cutthroat attitude about going out and trying to win every single game. And I think that's the one thing I'll even criticize Boone on a little bit. Like I'm fair. I defend him because I think people go crazy, and that's really where I think I get the shill kind of mentality where people think I'm this Yankee shill. I think I just react to crazy over criticism of a franchise that ultimately has done a pretty damn good job. That's all. I'm not saying they're world beaters. I'm not even saying like last year. Last offseason, last year, I said it's probably best to move on from my guy, the 2,500 victory man himself, Brian Cashman. I was saying it might be best to move on from Brian Cashman. I wouldn't complain if they let him go and let him and Boone go. I was saying that last year. Like it was fair. It was reasonable. They decided to keep him, which I don't think makes them doomed. I think both of them do a pretty damn good job. But I think every time a reliever comes in, it's Boone's fault, and so I get annoyed. And that makes me the Yankee shill. But I'm open to criticizing him, and I think that he allowed the team to kind of have an attitude And I think this is fair. And I know it's just a couple of days where the offense didn't score, but just the body language. And I'll tell you, Jazz, who came out, I think, on social media and publicly talked about the weather, I think him, along with some other guys, were just like, this is BS. We shouldn't be here. It's too cold. They're moving games to the daytime, and it sucks. And that's unacceptable, quite frankly. So hopefully the bats will awaken. We did see a great pitching performance from Max Fried, but this rotation, forget the offense, forget Devin Williams. He'll be fine. The overreaction to that is absolute nonsense. Evan again talking about the idea he's going to have to lose his role as the closer. You're out of your mind. He's going to be the closer. He's never going to lose the closer role. I doubt very much he is. I'm not saying he can't be this bad forever. Eventually he would lose his closer role, but I expect him to turn around in short order. The issue is the starting rotation, and if the faster Clark Schmidt can come back, and then I think it's going to be, obviously he's been great. He's got to stay healthy, but he's pitched to an under 3 ERA last year. He's really good. He's going to help this rotation a lot compared to what they're throwing at you. Besides, I mean, we're waiting for Luis Gil, probably waiting for a move at the deadline. I don't think it would be a top of the, I don't think it'll be Alcantara. I don't think it'll be a really big-time, you know, Cy Young Award-winning candidate, 26-year-old stud or something like that. But I do think they could get another arm that's an upgrade, as well as Luis Gil coming back. And plus, Max Fried hopefully will continue to prove he's an ace. But I think the question is going to be, when they do bring up Clark Schmidt, who do they take out of the rotation? And ultimately, unfortunately, because I wish this weren't the case, I think it's going to be Will Warren, and they're going to leave Carrasco in the rotation, despite the 4 solo home runs and the pitiful performance he gave you in Detroit, because the Yankees don't have any depth. They can't afford to lose Carrasco. They can send Will Warren down. And right now, if you cut Carrasco, if you designate him for assignment, and you leave Will Warren in the rotation, and you bring up Clark Schmidt, what happens if one of them goes down? What happens if an injury happens to the rotation, which is certainly not out of the realm of possibility? Where do they go? I don't even know where they would go. Right now, they have 6 starters in the organization that I feel even remotely comfortable starting games. So, like, I don't know where they go. And eventually, if Carrasco's just awful, then you make the move to Will Warren and you'll live with whatever minor leaguer you're going to have him make a spot start. Ryan Yarbrough is going to throw 3 or 4 innings as a bulk guy and you're going to have a bullpen game every 5th day. Like, I don't even know where they would go. They traded over the last couple of years so many pitching prospects, and they had, you know, Hampton got Tommy John. Like, they don't have another guy to go to. So Clark Schmidt's going to come back and help them immensely, but it's going to be Clark Schmidt probably for Will Warren. I don't think you're going to get Carrasco out of this rotation, and hopefully he can do a hell of a lot better than he did in Detroit, but it's going to be a much welcomed addition to the rotation to get Clark Schmidt back. And hopefully they play some games this weekend, as the weather's supposed to be bad, and hopefully Clark Schmidt can make an impact in 5 days. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Brett in Long Island calling a little early today. What's up, Brett?
Chris, who's answering the calls today?
My guy Nico. You gotta ask me this every day. You're talking to me. That's who you're talking to, Brett.
What do you want to talk about? Why do you want to talk about? Stop interrogating me. It's
that's
like, not
that's his
already.
Job. Don't Jeez. Tell him to shut up. That's his job.
Nico's
just been trained. He's done a great job, and he's doing exactly what he should be doing. Make sure riff raffs like you don't get on the air.
Chris.
Yes.
You got a minute?
I got a few.
Okay.
You got something to say?
You know how I share everything with the relationships and everything.
You want to sit on the couch? All right, come on in.
I'm going to get to my sports line. I talked to you for 3 years straight. I'm comfortable with you now. I can tell you stuff.
Okay.
I'm on my third marriage, Chris. I'm on my third marriage.
Okay.
And I know it's their fault, the first two, you know, Chris.
I have no doubt you believe that.
You know, Chris. So
I understand.
I'm working on things. I don't think you're helping me though, in the last few years. So that's all. I just wanted to let you know that.
I'm not sure. I lose
friends since I've been talking to you. I've lost more friends.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost some of these radio hosts. No one wants to talk to me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, and you're blaming me for that. The one guy who will still talk to you.
You
I don't know.
You wanted to help me. Now you said you wanted to help me.
I do. I try.
My life is falling apart. You're not
Why is your life is falling apart? Well, maybe you need to look inward and stop blaming me. There's the first tip. Stop blaming your ex-wives and the radio host you call into, and take some personal responsibility. I'm trying to help you. I did want to help you. I do want to help you, Brett. And the first part of recognizing you have the first part of solving a problem is recognizing you have one. Don't blame me. Yeah. Don't blame Nico for his questions on screening phone calls. Don't blame Brian Rascone.
Oh, Nico, you did bad today, Nico.
You did a great job, Nico.
Nico. I'm trying to get you better. Don't listen to Chris.
He's so soft right now. Yeah, I'm soft
That's the problem, Chris.
That's soft on him.
You try to be hard on
no,
me.
No, you want him to be soft on you. You want him to be soft on you, Brett. He was being tough with you. He's doing his job.
You talk about the Yankees, how great they are in your lifetime. I don't know when you were born. But how many championships have they won in your lifetime? Let's do
that. Five.
You just talked about it.
Five.
Okay, how many have the Giants won in your lifetime?
In my lifetime? I mean, I guess you could say four. I don't remember 86.
No, but how many in your lifetime?
In my, lifetime,
and
four.
When's the last time the Yankees won a World Series?
2009.
What year?
2009.
Okay, the Giants have won two since then. But anyway,
no,
that's
they haven't.
That.
They've won one since then.
All right, whatever. All right, so in the second one before that, right?
Right before that, yes.
No, wait.
But then
wait,
again,
wait,
how many?
The,
okay.
No.
Yes. No, wait, they won.
No,
in,
no,
they
wait,
won
wait,
11.
When was
they
the
won
last
in,
one.
11.
They won two.
They did not.
They won two.
They did not.
I won.
Yes.
Anyway, Chris.
It was an 08 Super Bowl, 07 season, and the 10 season, 11 Super Bowl.
Fine.
So I have
a quick question, and I'm going, and you're going to have a good vacation. I can't believe you leave. Must be nice. Leaving again. You act like you're
leaving
life
again.
So tough.
Where'd
you
I go?
3 hours. 3 hours. And I haven't had a vacation in a year. You're leaving again, mm-hmm. going
Where's
away.
Where's again?
Oh,
I don't go anywhere.
Tough. I got to drive, work over. Get out of here, man. Your life's easy. Easy. Live my life.
I love my job. I'll give you that, Brett. I'll live that life.
That's a joke.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You'd be miserable doing this too, Brett. That's the problem. You'd bring your misery to anything you do. There is no solution to you. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I need medication. I don't know, man.
I don't know what you need.
I was posed this question.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the four major sports,
yes,
the popularity, and I know my father-in-law asked me this. I really didn't know how to answer the whole question. He said, out of the four major sports, have they gotten more popular, less popular, or the same? Football and baseball immediately, they're definitely more popular because of the influx of the Japanese players, Dominican players. Football, yes, it's popular. But, I don't know about hockey and basketball. In my opinion, you can't go by TV ratings. Don't do that.
Okay.
Because the population, obviously from 30, 40 years ago has increased. But I don't know. I feel like basketball has gone the other way. And maybe even hockey. And Chris, I just wanted you to talk about that, about the popularity. And have a good vacation. And you didn't help me at all, man.
Not one bit.
See you later, Chris.
See you later, Brett. Oh, man. I've had far bigger failings in my life, Brett. I'm sorry. That's a tough one. I've tried. But when you don't want to take responsibility for your failed marriages or our failed relationship, I don't know what to tell you. You got to look inward, man. Got to look inward. I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you. The sports popularity. That's what Brett wanted to talk about this morning. Brett and all his hot takes and yelling at me and screaming at me. I did this whole thing on the Giants draft. I thought for sure that's where he was going. And instead he wants to talk about where the NHL is in popularity. I would say football is as popular as ever and gets more popular every day. And this doesn't correlate to the quality of play. Like, it's different. Same thing with the NBA. Quality of play is a different conversation, but they do have an issue. There's no doubt. They would not be coming up with mid-season gimmicks and all this stuff if they didn't feel their popularity was down. Now, the individual player and, the idea they all have their own shoes and... I think you're seeing more of that. I think you're seeing today's youth coming up with in this world of fantasy and everything where, and I can speak to it as a father, and I'm glad I get to have this conversation now that you've hung up because you were going to probably say something that would annoy me. But I see it with the kids today. Kids do have teams and they root for their team, no doubt, but they do end up following players more than before. I think the generations prior grew up loving the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets, the Mets, the whomevers, loved their team, loved the players on their team, respected other players, wanted the All-Star games were more popular because you got a chance to see those other players as opposed to today where you see them constantly. But you didn't root for, you didn't fall in love with players. Like there are Knicks fans who love Steph Curry as much as they love the Knicks. There are, you know, Knicks fans who, you know, who stay up late to watch LeBron and the Lakers because they love LeBron or you know, Jokic or Luka Doncic. Like they love those players almost as much or as much as they love their teams. So I think that's a little bit different, and I don't know how it's impacted popularity, quote unquote, but. And, you know, baseball is such a regional game. It's hard. Now, when you say growing popularity from where it was when it was America's pastime and far superior to every other sport, I mean, the NFL and Major League Baseball, you couldn't even compare them in popularity for decades. Now it's, you know, it's not even close nationally. And baseball's got its own issues. ESPN wanted out of the deal. Like, there are, when you talk internationally, sure, in Japan, it's the number one sport in Japan. And in Latin America, it's as popular as ever, sure. But here today, I don't know how the popularity is actually going at the moment. It's certainly not as big as it was. It's not getting bigger. I think it's in a stable place, Major League Baseball. The idea that, you know, Cam Newton is saying the WNBA is going to be more popular in 5 years is laughable, but I don't know how to judge it exactly, and if I can't go on TV ratings under your guys, under your rules, I don't know exactly how to judge it. But thanks for that interesting question. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Chris. Trying to be the psychoanalyst for Brett is an amazing job.
It is. I didn't know I'd have to do it. He says my job is easy. That's not easy.
Not at all. That's I would recommend easy. Brett. But I could roll you up something called strawberry runs, and maybe it'll just take the edge off for you. But other than that, I don't know what's going to help you. I think you hit the nail on the head with the sports popularity question. The big difference between, say, the 1990s and today is baseball went from national sport to regional sport.
Yeah.
It's very much like
nobody
hockey.
Cares. Yeah, nobody cares. And hockey, listen, hockey's the fourth of the four. We understand that. I do think the playoffs bring an excitement level and up the ante. I think a lot of the casual fans do get excited for NHL playoffs more than the casual baseball fan gets excited for the baseball playoffs. But it's hard to judge the NHL. But yeah, the baseball has become much more regional. There's no question about it. It's become a very regional sport. No one really cares about Sunday Night Baseball and the other two teams playing. Like, no one cares about it. No one wants to turn on a Royals Milwaukee Brewers game. No one cares.
The amazing thing is, Chris, as I reflect on it as a 45-year-old man, the best baseball I've ever seen and am likely to see was the steroid baseball of the mid to late 90s.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
I mean, it depends on what you like, you know, but yeah, I mean, we saw, like, I think the argument, like, which is, it sucks, but like to say, hey, I don't care. I'm not Hank Aaron worried about my record. I'm not, I want to see the greatest athletes in the world at their peak ability, and never have we seen athletes at their peak ability better than when they were on steroids. So what the hell do I care? Like, there is an element and a people who would say that kind of thing. Like, you know, I want to see 70 home runs because I think it's awesome. What do I care what Mark McGwire is doing? He looks like a mountain and he's hitting the ball forever, and I find it fun. Isn't it about fun? Like, I could see that argument. I don't know if I buy into it completely, but sure. I think there's an argument to be made.
No, 100%. But, you know, the sport is still enjoyable. It's just evolving into a playoff sport, baseball. And they're going to lower the regular season schedule someday, and it'll move into, you know, that's the way I see it. But if you keep expanding the playoffs, how can you not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they've met the limit of expanding the playoffs. I think this is about as much. And I don't mind it. I don't love it. I'd rather just go back to the way it was and just somehow find a way to penalize the wild card team more if they weren't going to keep the one game. And I think that was the problem with the players. The players felt the one game scenario was unfair. We loved it because it's a baked in game seven, you know, on each side, American League, National League, every year. I think everybody loves win or go home games. So I thought for the fan, it was great. The players had an issue with it because baseball's built on series and playing every day, and suddenly a one-game scenario decides your season. So the players had a major issue with it, and that's why it got changed to the new format. I would have been fine with just going back to the one wild card and they play a series, but find a way to penalize that team more. Play every game at the division winner's home, or, you know, I don't know. make it a 5-game series, but the winning team has the home team has one win in the pocket. I don't know. So just make it more punitive to be the wild card, because that was the issue with that format. Back when there was only one wild card and they were in the ALDS, it just felt like it wasn't enough of a punishment to not win your division. They wanted to emphasize winning the division. I do think there's ways to keep that format while incentivizing division winners. But I don't love this new format. I don't love this many playoff teams making it. It's hurting so many things. It's hurting the trade deadline. It's allowing teams that don't make money to continue to do that under the guise of, hey, we have a chance in this new wild card system. There's a lot of problems with it, but and plus, if you're a team like the Yankees or a good playoff team, there's just more ways to get tripped up. And that's why I argue with people who talk about, oh, this once great franchise who won all those World Series. Yeah, all they had to do was finish with the best record, and they were in the World Series. Or they had to win one playoff series. Like, now you got to get through the wild card round. You got to get through the ALDS, the NLDS, the ALCS. Like, it's just a lot. I hope they don't shorten the season. I am a proponent of 162. I love every single baseball game. And quite honestly, I think it's impacted the game in a positive way. But I don't even mind the long games. I don't care. Take away the pitch clock. I don't give a damn. I don't mind if every game's 5 hours. But I know I'm the baseball nerd, and I'm obsessed with it. I understand why they did what they did. Travis in the Bronx. What's up, Travis?
Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Not bad. Listen, I think what you were talking about earlier about how the Jets would potentially trade the number 7 pick, I think that only works for a team like the Giants, and you mentioned that because, you know, I don't see a team trading up who is, you know, towards the end of the first round, and if he's falling to 7, that means there's a reason for that. I don't think another team is going to draft.
Well, it just here's the thing, though. I understand what you're saying, but what does it really mean? Look at it. What it means is, right, and I understand the quarterback and how important it is and how I feel about it in particular. Also, though, it does mean that there are two excellent players at the top of this draft that maybe the Browns and Giants didn't want to, you know, pass up on. And you're not going to be able to do that at 6. I would, like, let me ask you a question. Like, right now, everything that the Saints at 9 would clearly be willing to do it, I would think. Even the 49ers and the issue, depending on how they are with Brock Purdy and you know, the idea of the contract. Like, I think there's a handful of teams that might be willing to move up.
But I don't follow college as much as most, but I have a good understanding, I think. But he's never struck me as like a can't miss. And I think when you make those kind of moves, it's hard to do that for a player who plays for a team. In Colorado, they didn't play great. They didn't play great teams. They played good teams. You know, they had, you know, the popularity because of his father and because of Travis Hunter, and he played well in stretches. But, you know,
I understand. Yeah, but look at what's happening. Tell me, what'd you think of Carson Wentz coming out of the draft, and what was given up to trade for him? Like, I mean, they moved. Patrick Mahomes wasn't a absolute deal guaranteed, and they traded up for him. Like, we have seen.
The quarterback itself
presents value.
I get that, and I'm a Giants fan, and kind of tying this all together, I feel like if the Giants were to do something like that, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't, because I feel like, you know, by Dable and Shane drafting a quarterback, it obviously, for whatever reason, you know, whether you want to or not, it buys themselves more time, because it tells Mara, listen, we now have the guy that we want. Obviously, if you're going to get rid of us, you know, you're going to repeat the same mistakes that you've made with the franchise.
Yeah,
the last.
I agree with you, but I don't know, Travis. What I'm hearing now from everybody is that the idea, oh, they need to win now and take the best player if they want to save their jobs. That should do it. It's kind of changed. Early on, it was like, ooh, I'm really afraid that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going to draft a young quarterback because they're going to do whatever it takes to secure their jobs, and that's the best way to secure their jobs. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing, oh, you got to win right now. You got to get as many wins as possible. You got to go draft Carter or Hunter and help this team this year. It makes no sense to draft a quarterback because you'll lose games and get fired. Like, so which one is it? That's part of my problem here.
I'll leave you with this, but what happens if they do trade up and, you know, they give next year's first and second, or first and third.
Yeah.
For the 7 pick.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be very mid. And right. It's immediate, or you can tell. What happens to what? Then we're really effed.
Yeah, but you did that and acquired a top level player. You also got the second or third best player. You got the first or second best player in the draft at the third pick. So, like, I understand that you made your move now and you got your franchise quarterback. And again, you say mid immediate. I don't know. We'll see. But you've acquired that player to help you win now. If they win enough games and promise Shador, I would think, you know, they'd be in a good spot. They have to like Shador, and at 7, depending on what it is. And you're hoping next year's first isn't good. You're hoping next year's first isn't the third pick. You're hoping you're not in the top 10. And that's the other thing with it, with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Like, that's probably what when we talked about them throwing the Hail Marys and we talked about them overreaching and risking the future to save their jobs, this probably pick is the trade up would be one of it. It would be something along those lines. But like, if I'm Joe Shane, if that pick is going to kill us, then I'm not here to make it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I trade next year's one and we're all kicking ourselves because they could have been drafting 5th, they didn't win enough games to secure their jobs anyway. So, and you get both players this way. You get both players this way. You get Carter and Shador. And now you've got your future quarterback and a great defensive player. And yeah, next year's number one isn't going to be there, but you're hoping to win some football games. You're not going to have to be at the top of the draft to draft a quarterback because you just did it this year. Like, I would be willing to do that. If I can get Carter or Hunter and Shador Sanders, I would be willing to do it. And I'm just saying for the New York Jets, if Shador Sanders makes it through the New York Giants, as soon as the Giants pick and, you know, the announcement is for Hunter or Carter, the first phone call, if I'm the Jets, I am picking up the phone. I'm calling the Saints. I'm calling the Giants. I'm calling the 49ers. I'm calling, you could make a case for a bunch of different teams. I'm calling the Steelers at 21. Like, I'm calling everybody. I'm calling the Lions at 28 off of that performance at in the play. I'm calling everybody and seeing what they might be willing to give me for a quarterback. I just think it depends. I'm not saying do it for nothing. If they make those calls and everybody says nah, Shador sucks, okay. But the idea of how much quarterbacks are valued, and if he slips to 7, and I just think it gives a nice little soft landing spot for this GM and this coach to start their regime, get a bunch of different picks for next year, get their feet wet with their first NFL draft, not be locked into a 7th pick that they're going to be judged on forever, get a bunch of picks, let someone else come up and make the quarterback pick, and then be set up next year in a position with the quarterback draft is much better, and be in a position with a bunch of picks to move up next year to get a quarterback if you deem it necessary after watching Fields not be your guy. I'm just saying that's as much as I like the tight end out of Penn State, as much as I like Tyler Warren, as much as I might like the offensive tackle out of Missouri, as much as there's some great players there, I'm just saying there is value. If Shador Sanders is still on the board at 7, I'm making phone calls to see what people will give me. I think that might be their best route.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake.
All right, 4:36, Little Margaritaville. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and we're only 26 minutes away from it being here. And that's when the warm-up show will come your way, 888-808-1019. Talked a lot of football. We know Abdul Carter is going to be visited today. Thursday and Friday, so yesterday and today. They're also going to be meeting with Milroe, quarterback of Alabama. Listen, if those are the first two picks, they take a quarterback in the second round, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I have concerns about Milroe, but to be fair, we have concerns about every quarterback in the draft, but I definitely need the quarterback of the future. Now, I think I wouldn't mess around and take him third with Shador, but they need a future quarterback, because I just don't understand, again, like, the plan, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, here's the thing. Like, I know John Mara wants wins. I get it. But when he decided to keep these guys, like, was it just about, hey, I don't want to fire you? Is that all? Because if they had to sell him on anything, did they really sell him on, we're going to try and win some games with Russell Wilson? Like, we're going to get an aging veteran who no longer is good, but he's at least better than Drew Locke and Daniel Jones, and we'll try and win you 6 or 7, maybe 8 games next year and have real no future. Like, I don't understand the plan. Like, what? I don't understand any of it. If they don't get a quarterback, like, they have to. And the thought is, well, listen, I know the quarterback is the most important thing, but you can't be reckless. Well, sometimes they don't work together. And if I have to choose, I'd rather get the quarterback in a reckless manner than be safe and not have one. Because I don't know what the future of this team is if they don't have a quarterback that they're building towards the future with. Like, it's not Russell Wilson. It's just not. I don't know what the plan is for the New York Giants if they don't get a quarterback. So we'll see. Listen, I'm sure Abdul Carter, we all know how talented he is. It sounds like the foot isn't going to be an issue, that we've already seen some healing inside the stretch fracture in his foot. I'm sure he'll be healthy. I'm sure he's going to be great. He's one of those two players, and that's why I wouldn't move on from the pick. I'm either drafting Hunter or Carter, or I'm taking the quarterback. I'm not moving back. The Jets, I think, are in a different boat. But I just have a real problem with the idea of, like, all the thought process that we have going into it. Well, listen, you got to win as many games, so it doesn't make sense drafting the quarterback, and they signed two quarterbacks already. And, like, what's the plan? What did John Mara get sold on? Why keep these guys if you're not going to allow them to build and give Brian Daboll his quarterback? Like, what's the point? Like, hey, we're going to try and win seven games with Russell Wilson? That's why he decided to keep these guys? That was the big... Listen, we're going to spend more money in free agency this year because we have some, and the cap is always expanding. And, you know, we're going to give... We're going to give our second wide receiver, who's been here for 10 years and nobody's all excited about, as much money as the Eagles gave Saquon. And we're going to, you know, take a cornerback who, you know, is very physical but can get beat down the field, but we feel is pretty damn good. And we'll take a safety who might not be as good as the safety we allowed to go to Green Bay last year, and we'll probably be okay, and I'll get a quarterback in here who's old and not good anymore, but he'll be better than what we've had. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, we'll play a meaningful game at the end of November. So, good deal, John. I don't get it. Where are they going to be at the end of this season if they don't draft a quarterback? So, it is what it is. If he slides down to seven, I think the Jets should consider taking him or consider moving down and seeing if they can convince anybody else to come up and take him at seven. We'll see how far he falls. I just saw a mock draft I was looking at that has him falling all the way to 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Shedeur Sanders falls to 21, that would be interesting. 888-808-1019. The Yankees are back in business tonight, as are the Mets. We're going to get our first look at the minor league ballpark in Sacramento as they take on the Athletics. And the Yankees are home for the San Francisco Giants. And a theme of the early part of this season with the New York Yankees has been they don't hit good pitching, right? Oh, sure, against the lousy Milwaukee Brewers, which always makes me laugh because then the Brewers went on to win five of their next seven games. But yeah, sure, they're terrible. Dismiss the wins, emphasize the losses. How the Yankee fans do business. But obviously, to start the year, averaging 9 runs a game, hitting all these home runs, breaking records, cooled off in Detroit both by the weather and the good starting pitching, didn't hit Gallen, didn't hit Detroit, and now they line up for a series against the San Francisco Giants, who are as hot as anybody, who are throwing Robbie Ray, Hicks, and Webb at them over the course of this weekend. So if the games get in, because the weather is supposed to be bad, the New York Yankees will be tested at home against 3 legitimate starting pitchers, a team that's as hot as anyone contending in that very difficult National League West, and it should be a good litmus test for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Bernadette. Bernadette, I like how you call with a little bit of room here. You usually call me at 4:56, and I end up feeling bad.
I don't want you to feel bad.
Well, thank you.
But I want to apologize for yesterday that I didn't hear you say, how do I feel about sports? I thought you asked me how I felt in general. And
I don't think I asked how you're feeling about sports. I asked if you had a sports point you'd like to get to before we ended the phone call.
Right. Well, I was at my granddaughter's debut at T-ball.
There's nothing like the first game of the year of a T-ball season.
Woo-wee! Oh my God. It was like baseball tackle. All these little 5-year-olds, once the ball was hit, they all ran for the ball.
Of course, and they dive on it.
On top of it.
Of course, and then they hold the one who got it holds the ball up like he's won a prize. Won a prize.
You know,
I know.
They shorten the bases,
yeah. And
the kids run all the way to the real base. And you laugh your head off.
Yep.
But I did want to make a Yankee point.
Sure.
I thought I heard yesterday that DJ LeMahieu is coming back to the Yankees.
Well, I believe he's going to start a rehab assignment. I don't think you're going to have to worry about it for at least a month because they want to give him like a full spring training type rehab assignment. So I think they're going to send him away for as long as they can send him away. I don't think the Yankees have any interest. I honestly think, and this sucks to say, I honestly think the Yankees hope he gets injured on his rehab assignment. I don't think they want him anywhere near the team. I just don't think they have a chance or a choice. And if he's healthy, they'll give it a try because they do need a good right-handed bat. But I don't think he would have much rope, considering how he's played, how often he's been injured. I think they'd rather have him just go away and probably collect insurance on him. But I think that's probably what they're hoping happens. But we'll see. We'll see.
Now, is Arenado totally out of the realm of
their... Yeah, here's the thing with Arenado and Bernadette. Thank you so much for the call. And yeah, this T-ball is hilarious and frustrating if you're the coach all at once. It's easy to sit back and just watch and laugh. It's another when you're constantly, all right, come on, stop playing with the dirt. Everybody on their feet. Everybody on their feet. Gloves on the ground. Let's go. Throw to first. First. Throw to first. First. Throw to first base. Throw to first. First base. First. Over there. That's first. First. First base. Throw to first. It drives you crazy. Imagine how annoying that was just in 10 seconds of me saying it. Try doing that all afternoon. But the Arenado thing is interesting because now he's gotten off to a good start and his bat speed is up from over the last 2 years. And he looks good. And we know what he is defensively, and he's a right-handed bat that's far better than what they have. It's the contract moving forward. We all know why they haven't done it so far. But here's my problem. Now they're in the season. Now they're playing. Now he's off to a good start. Now the Cardinals could see a value in waiting for the trade deadline and seeing what they could get, see what the needs are, see how many other teams are in the mix. The reason I particularly wanted to trade for Nolan Arenado early on, and I think this should be more, and Brian Cashman and every other GM in baseball should start to think about this, is that in that moment, at the beginning of the season, it was a salary dump, and nobody was really hot and heavy on it. And yeah, you didn't know he was going to get off to a good start. You didn't know his bat speed was going to be up, fine. But the Yankees were kind of alone as being a team that could get him for probably next to no prospects, which they're not flush with right now, which they're going to need to trade for a starting pitcher possibly. And they could have got him just for money. Just for money. And now that he's playing well and the Cardinals are in the season and we know how the trade deadline is a seller's market, they might just wait until the trade deadline. In fact, I think they probably will. I don't know how many trades get made in April, May. Brian Cashman continues to tell you that every time he speaks to the media. But you get to a deadline, who knows how many teams need a third baseman? Who knows how many teams are impressed with how he's played and answered the questions of the concerns we all had in the offseason on his two previous seasons? What if he has a great first half? Which I believe he's on his way to having. I haven't checked his numbers over the last couple days, but he was having a great start to his year, and I know what the sabermetric numbers are. I know some of the underlying numbers, bat speed and all that, have been up. But as of right now, and Baseball Reference sometimes is a day behind, and they probably were off with the rest of everybody in baseball, but as of right now, Nolan Arenado is hitting .310. He's got an OPS of .872. He's hit one home run and driven in six runs. He's walked eight times. He's got an on-base percentage of .420 and a slugging of .452. So right now, he's off to a great start. That's the best year he's had in 3 or 4 years. Now, it's early, a very small sample size. He's played 11 games and 50 plate appearances. But that's a good start for Nolan Arenado. And I told you, I watched the report from MLB Network and Tom Verducci. All of his underlying numbers are up. Bat speed, some of the stuff that you don't care about, and maybe it's overblown, but he hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball for a home run up in the zone. It's the first time he's done it in like two or three years. Like, he's getting to baseballs he hasn't gotten to over the last 2 years. He's gotten better. His underlying numbers are up. His regular numbers are up. And if you get to the trade deadline, who knows how many teams would be interested? Because now the money for this season's down. You could work something out with the Cardinals for the next couple of years with the money. And you're going to have to give up prospects because he's having a good year and there's going to be demand. There was no demand. It was just money. Now it becomes more complicated. And now you could get into a bidding war that at the moment, the Yankees aren't in a position to win bidding wars. And it's going to piss me off if they have to trade top prospects to get them halfway through the year when they could have got them just for money at the beginning of the year. And I would think they're probably going to need prospects to get a middle of the rotation starter. I don't think you're going to get an ace, right? Maybe Luis Castillo is as good as you could possibly get. I just don't see the Yankees having the prospects to get an ace in a seller's market that is what the new trade deadline has become. I just don't think they have the prospects right now. I'm not trading their top prospects. I'm not trading George Lombard. I'm not trading the top prospects. I'm not. I don't want to trade Spencer Jones and Lombard for a rotation piece that I'm going to have to pay in a year or something. I don't want to do that. And neither does Brian Cashman. So I think you're looking at just another arm that's better than Carrasco or what typically Stroman becomes halfway through the year. You're looking to upgrade, not, you know, get a dominant pitcher, just upgrade. And that's going to take you prospects on itself. I don't want to waste prospects on Nolan Arenado when I could have had him just for money. So we'll see where it goes.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, a few minutes left here as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. You know what we do here at the end. Rapid fire. Sometimes it's legitimate, sometimes it's ironic. Either way, we have fun with it until 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, good morning, Big Mac. What a disaster on the GW Bridge. It's all backed up coming both ways. It's
really?
Unbelievable.
Right now?
Yeah,
you're really stuck in traffic at 5 a.m.?
Right now. Yeah, 5 a.m. going back over the bridge back to Rockland County. So back to Fort Lee. So, but whatever.
That's not a good sign. I hope the Lincoln's all right.
Yeah, the Lincoln's fine. I just checked it for you, actually. But when you're talking about the Yankees, at least, you know, we get good news. Wednesday, we'll get Schmidt back finally. We'll put Grasco probably. We'll put him in the bullpen or whatever. So the pitching staff will get better, and hopefully Gill will be able to come back in another month and a half. So, thing that I don't think the Yankees need a pitcher, a top-end pitcher. I think they need more than you just spoke to the last customer, not customer, but that caller. You need a third baseman. I mean, and Arenado, if I was Cashman, I'd take a gamble right now on him. I really would, because, as you say, he's doing really well, and he defensively he'll be fine. And it's not, and you know what, let's just get, maybe we'll get lucky with LeMay. I doubt it. He'll come up here, he'll get injured the first day, but you never know. Maybe we'll get lucky. His glove was always good. It was his bat was the problem when he played last year before he got injured when he came back. So, you know, the Yankees need, you know, they know what they need, and just hopefully he gets what he, you know, we get someone that we can get production from, because right now at third base, we're not getting very much production out of the third baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, listen, screaming about third base for how long? Been screaming about third base all year. It's the one spot. And again, like I was fine with how they handled the offseason. They went hard after Juan Soto. I know Boomer thinks that was all a charade. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. They offered him a lot of money. I would have wished they would have kept him. They didn't, but I feel like they went after him. And then they pivoted as best they could. Like they did as best as they could, other than third base. Like that's the one, just they left one gaping hole. Now, every team has some holes. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean they can't win. It doesn't mean they can't fill it as the season goes along. It's just, it bothered me that they would just stop just short and talk about how annoyed they were and the chip on their shoulder. And it actually hurts more to lose the World Series than it does to miss the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. And then just to leave third base wide open annoyed me, as it did all Yankee fans. And the only thing with Nolan Arenado is now, I don't know how you get him. I don't know if St. Louis is willing to move him now. They'll probably just wait to the deadline. I don't know. But they need a third baseman. They're not getting production. And I don't see DJ LeMahieu as being the answer. That would be a huge, huge shock and an enormous coup for the Yankees if they get back DJ LeMahieu and he's even a resemblance of what the great DJ LeMahieu was. If he comes up here and hits 270 and has like a 760, 780 OPS up and plays solid defense, we'll be thrilled. Thrilled. If DJ LeMahieu is three quarters of the player he was, we would be thrilled. But I don't see it. We haven't seen it in many years. I don't expect to see it now. And as far as needing another pitcher, they're not. I don't think they're capable of getting a top of the rotation pitcher. So if they get a pitcher, it's going to be middle of the rotation because I don't think they have the prospects to get a top of the rotation pitcher. Chris and Seagirt, what's up, Chris?
I just want to compliment you on being so nice, Brett from Long Island. That guy is such a cancer, and you give him airtime. But you're so nice.
Well, I am a nice guy. I think so.
You insult Met fans like me all the time. You think Matt Repke is a hockey player when he's a goon. But you just have such a pleasant voice when you deliver all these insulting things to my sports team.
I don't insult the Mets. When do I insult the Mets?
Well, I mean, you...
I dared to question how they built the starting rotation, and so far I've been proven to be dead wrong. I'm not trying to insult you.
Well, it was funny last year with the whole Juan Soto negotiation.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a Yankee. I never said that the Mets are a joke or that who the hell would want to go to the Mets. That's not me. I thought he was going to be a Yankee. I thought he was going to stay with the Yankees. I did, along with a lot of people. I don't insult the Mets. Occasionally, I'll have a little bit of fun in area. Never mind, we've been through all that. I don't insult the Mets. I'm rooting for the Mets, believe it or not. Except when the Yankees lose. Then I want misery. All right, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully, both our teams, and that's not sarcastic, hopefully both of our teams get some wins over the weekend with the Yankees and Mets. I'll see you. I'm off for a week. I'll catch you back the following Monday. We'll get ready for NFL Draft. Thank you to Nico. Thank you guys for calling. We'll see you in a week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.